the Young Turks. It's Friday. We don't got no jobs. We don't got bleep to do. So I would say if given an option of various things to do, I would drop it. So epic, so cutting edge in that CGI. It's like it was made within the last 15 years at least. I'm very excited about this power panel. We've got Jimmy Dore, who you are familiar with from Aggressive Progressives and elsewhere around the Young Turks Network. And new to the studio, an old friend of mine actually, who I was shocked to find was the actual same Jen Briney. Jen Briney, welcome so much. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, I'm excited to be here.
And you host the Congressional Dish podcast.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I started about 5 years ago. I was reading bills and finding things that were being pushed into law that we didn't know about. And so for the last 5 years, as a taxpayer, I've just been looking into the legislation that's being passed by Congress and exposing all of the secrets, both in things that have become law and then bills that they're working on too. And now I watch hearings and I tell you the things that Congress doesn't want you to know.
The dirty work,
yeah.
The deep, dirty work of Congress, gross. Jimmy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I don't have my computer bag with me. I'm a little out of sorts. I don't have any powder, so I'm a little shiny. There's a lot of things going on that people don't realize. I have to carry my pipe in my pocket, which is uncomfortable. I'm doing okay, though. I'm going later tonight to the LA Podcast Festival, which is at the Biltmore Hotel. And I'm doing my show there tomorrow. At 6 o'clock, and tonight I'm doing some show called Road Stories with Murray Valeriano, so it's going to be fun.
Down at the Biltmore?
At the Biltmore Hotel tonight, yes.
Do you know what time?
Tonight, it's the thing I'm doing tonight is at 9 p.m. Starts at 9 p.m., but the thing started today at 1:30.
Awesome. Are you going to be down there at the podcast fest?
I am, the whole weekend.
Are you?
I am, yes. I was so excited to meet you there.
Oh, look at this.
Fate brought us together.
See?
A little jealous, guys.
You don't do a podcast?
No. This, I thought this was a podcast. No,
no, this is a web something series.
Oh, is this a digitally distributed multi-channel network?
Yeah, you're not in your pajamas, so you're not on a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, when you get in your pajamas, I can see your skinny bundle.
What an amazing series of like post-cable jokes. I was going to do shout-outs. We got some member shout-outs. James Jones and John Young. Thank you so much for watching. Everyone else, you can go to tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Lots of other content as well as tytnetwork.com/members live. Watch more stuff all over the place. You can catch me on Pop Trigger, elsewhere on the TYT Network. We have a lot to get into today. So let's start with our first story. President Trump made a cryptic statement during a photo opportunity with military leaders and it scared the crap out of me personally. We'll find out what it did to the fellow members of the panel, but first, let's take a look at it.
You guys know what this represents?
Fellowship.
Memories to calm before the storm.
What's the storm?
Could be the calm, or calm before the storm.
What storm is
it? We have the world's great military people in this room, I will tell you that. And we're going to have a great evening. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
What storm, Mr. President?
You'll find out.
Give us a hint on your decision.
Thank you, everybody. Okay.
So you saw that. What was your reaction?
I feel like he's probably trolling, and that's kind of like the common wisdom that he's just saying things. But my biggest fear is that, like, we know this. I watched The Apprentice, but maybe there's other people in this world that are not as tasteless as I am and don't know who Donald Trump is. And so how are other countries looking at our president who's so reckless when speaking about the most powerful military in the world and maybe alluding to using it in some kind of like surprise attack on God only knows who? It's so scary to see how the rest of the world is taking this.
Yeah, Jimmy, you saw it. What's your take on this statement?
Well, I think he's just saying stuff, but you look at when he says the greatest military minds in the world are all in this room, and they couldn't figure out how to beat the Taliban for 18 years now, 17 years, the greatest military minds. They couldn't figure out how to do Iraq. They couldn't figure out how to do Libya. Here we are dropping 26,000 bombs in Syria, still can't figure out what to do. So the greatest military minds of the world don't seem to be getting shit done, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. Especially with unlimited budget, unlimited resources. And I don't know if you noticed, but those greatest military minds in the world standing on next to him, from what I could tell, were giggling as he was saying that shit.
That's what it is. To me, the giggling is what's crazy, because it seemed like you had two schools of thought in the room. You had the reporters, which I think you could get rid of reporter with everyone, colon, instead of reporter, colon. That reporter going, so what the hell does that mean? And there are audible people in the audience going like,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, the guy standing right next to him, I don't know who it was, but he was giggling. And so look at the guy second over to Trump's right. The second guy can't stop smiling. And if you show that video again, you don't have to play the audio, but you can see them all kind of giggling and laughing. And so those are supposed to be the greatest military minds in the world. So watch when he starts saying this stuff. You see that guy can't stop grinning like an idiot. Mm. I don't know who that guy second over. And then this guy here with the crew cut, he's in a short hair contest. And and then he'll be good. He'll start, look at that guy, can't stop laughing. World's greatest military people room. I'll tell you that. And then watch how this guy, like, he's kind of half smiling the whole time. And who was the woman?
Melania.
What if that's his? Look, there he is. There he is. You see him giggling? Now, that guy's got a whole chest full of medals. Mm-hmm. And he's standing there next to the clown president who's making ridiculous threats. And he's like, ha, 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 ha.
So awkward.
It's like watching a film from North Korea where, and everybody's afraid to say that guy's a maniac, you know? They're like, that's okay, he said that, ha, ha, ha. I wonder who that guy is. We should find out.
Well, he has to be a Trump sycophant, because that's the only people that get hired and get to stay in this administration. So to even be in that position, to be in that shot, he's got to be kissing Trump's ass in some way and finding him adorable. So he's surrounded by people that are not going to tell him, hey, that's a little crazy. You shouldn't say that. Like, it's almost their job now to laugh and make him feel good about himself.
A lot of people have said that they thought Mattis and Kelly were doing it to service of the country, and they weren't sycophantist to Trump or anything. I have a hard time believing that. Trump doesn't let anybody around him who doesn't do exactly what you said. So
right. And then the other thing that happens in the video is when the reporter is so easily able to rattle off boiling point crises that are happening now that you get to choose from when he talks about the calm before the storm. I tried to write some down. Iran, North Korea, healthcare, the tax plan, just randomly firing someone at random. I also put down the piss tape guy talked to Mueller today.
Oh, Steele? Like
yesterday, yeah. So the guy who did the piss tape dossier,
he
spoke to Mueller. Maybe there's something about that. I also wrote down like random manufactured tragedy. Who knows? He could just make something up or nothing. Now, we got a little more. I guess we hoped we would get more from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She was at the press conference today. Let's take a look at what she had to say about this moment.
Can you clarify the president's comments? Was he referring to military action when he said calm before the storm?
As we've said many times before, I know the president has, as I have from this podium on quite a few occasions, we're never going to say in advance what the president's going to do. And as he said last night, in addition to those comments, you'll have to wait and see.
But how seriously should the American public or American adversaries, for that matter, take these comments?
I think you can take the president protecting the American people always extremely serious. He's been very clear that that's his number one priority. And if he feels that action is necessary, he'll take it.
Was that anything?
No.
No. She doesn't know.
She doesn't know.
She has no idea.
Take him for his word. I think you can take blank for blank. Like, that is her default statement and framing of any response where she doesn't know what to do. And I think when I compare her to Spicer, she's worse. She's worse than Spicer.
Really?
Because at least Spicer, you could see, was freaking out about it. Because he was like bright red and angry and but with Sarah, I'm dizzy now. With Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she just is so good at that like dead face.
Deadpan, yeah.
You know?
But that's why I feel like she's good at the job. Her job is to just cover this and to try and make it seem as normal as possible.
Yeah.
And she never really changes the inflection in her voice. And I think she's really good at the job in a way that we never get answers from her. But I think that's kind of what they want, is someone who doesn't give us answers. And that's what's so frustrating.
There's another, an Axios reporter went on MSNBC, and he has certain sources within the White House and has ideas about what possibly Trump might be doing. Here's his take after doing some interviews of people behind the scenes.
I think there's a high degree of probability that he is trolling everyone. And in fact, I was talking to a senior official last night, somebody who I should stress is not on the NSC, who would not be privy to any covert operations. And they started laughing, saying, don't you get it? He's just trolling all of you. But of course, it's trolling with very serious consequences. This is what he does with national security.
And then he also gave an example of the application of this weird trolling approach as it pertains to other national security and international relations issues. Take a look.
We reported last week a private meeting inside the Oval Office discussing the South Korean trade deal. And he says to Robert Lighthizer, his chief trade negotiator, you tell them I'm so crazy I could pull out any minute. And that seems to be the sort of madman kind of approach that he's taking with North Korea, the sort of Nixonian, you know, make these wild statements, these very destabilizing statements, and sort of let the chips fall where they may.
Do you take this? Is that what you think is happening?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think is happening.
Why do you say that?
I just think that Trump said something. He's like all these people in the room. And he feels he has to say something, and he's like, "Oh, the calm before the storm." Huh? What does that mean? Fuck, doesn't mean anything. I just said something. I don't think he was really. I just think it was something he said.
Only Trump will make like a calm before the storm reference after two huge storms.
With another one on the way.
Yeah, with another one on the way. Like Puerto Rico happens. We just got done with his handling, mishandling, rehandling, manhandling of that situation. And he makes a calm before the storm reference. Like it's that doddering and stupid.
Yeah. Tillerson's right. He's a moron.
He's a moron. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I mean,
depending on what kind of storm he's talking about, they're going to need a lot of paper towels.
The idea that he's playing like good cop, bad cop, like the hold me back Rex is what he's trying to do.
Hold me back Rex, yes.
Well, Ronald Reagan was given a lot of credit for being kind of like unpredictable. And maybe he's kind of learned that lesson where the Cold War is credited to Reagan because he was so scary and no one knew what he was going to do, which is clearly nonsense. But that reputation is out there for the dummies. Maybe that's what he's trying to do because he doesn't have a plan.
But Reagan was also called at least the great communicator. What's going to be so frustrating is there's going to be this amazingly long detailed account of somebody saying that Trump changed the way communication happens in the political spectrum and he's doing it all on purpose and it's this masterful handling of things when really I think he's just reacting to everything in the moment, and he's seen movies where there's good cop, bad cop, and he wants to make people like, you know, think he's unpredictable. But person after person, everyone's going through and saying like, you could start an inadvertent war. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we got to take a little break. Don't go away. When we come back, we have a lot to cover. Is Rex Tillerson long for this world? An Arizona man, his reaction to the shooting in Las Vegas. And then stay tuned for the Roy Moore stories that we're going to do. Roy Moore is the worst is just all I have written down as the headline. Not even kidding. So don't go away. We'll be back after this. Welcome back, everybody. First hour, we're 19 minutes in. If you want to participate in the show, please do so. Tag hashtag TYT live. We read some on the show, such as I'm about to do right now. Trent tweets, this is great. When it comes to protecting Americans, you can always take the president seriously, end quote. Puerto Ricans need not apply. Ooh. Damn, that's really good. Jay writes, imagine if Obama or even GWB pulled this kind of expletive. What would happen?
Trump has yet to start his first illegal war. He has yet to order torture. He has yet to open his own torture facility. So habeas corpus is already repealed.
I just feel like he's changed the United States into a torture facility. Like that's how I feel. Yes, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. But like Obama would have been taken down by any one of these little things. I heard somewhere, I forget where it was, that it was the scandals are just too big and too many that people can't wrap their head around them. I think it was like Pod Save America or something, where it was like, it's just too much. Trump, like when there's a little scandal that comes up, they get taken down, whoever it is gets taken down. But it's just too much for the Trump thing. It's like a bunch of little media scandals.
It's true. I mean, with that calm before and the storm thing, like when did the storm stop?
Yeah, exactly.
Since Inauguration Day, it's just been nonstop. I'm afraid to look at my phone.
Yeah, and El Duende Chingon writes, you see, folks, this is why you don't feed the trolls. So there you go.
It's just a matter of time. I don't know. Do you think he's going to go all the way and start having sex with his interns in the Oval Office?
I prefer it. I think Melania would prefer it.
Yeah.
She'd be fine. Please do. Ugh. What if she was one of the great political minds that he was talking about? It's secretly her. And I think she's the spy. I think she's the Russian spy that was perfect. All right. Let's get in to our next story. Axios reports that Trump may fire Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, and he may give the job to who? The CIA director, Mike Pompeo. Now, this is all rumor, but you've heard it multiple places. In the wake of the statement that you all heard reported, which was that Rex Tillerson referred to the president as a effing moron. And really before that, if you're paying any attention whatsoever, there's been a lot of strife between the two. Mike Allen and Jonathan Swift from Axios broke the story, and they say the relationship's beyond repair. They say after what Trump considered a strong trip to Vegas, here's one of the reasons they give, strong trip, really strong trip.
Who was he, Vince Vaughn?
I played Vegas, and I rocked Vegas. He seethed when he got back and he saw Tillerson's gaffe dominating cable news coverage. Everywhere he flipped, there was Tillerson's face instead of his, so maybe a jealousy thing. Next, they said the relationship is so toxic. Sources tell Jonathan Swan and me that few in the White House think it can be rebuilt. There's zero trust between the West Wing and the State Department. And then, you know, relating to the statement of the moron, they said NBC, which broke the moron story, said the chief of staff abruptly scrapped plans to travel with Trump on Wednesday so he could try to contain his boss's fury. So, I mean, do you buy it?
Do I buy that?
Do you buy that he's going to get rid of Rex Tillerson?
Yeah.
Do you buy any of these reasons? What are your thoughts?
First of all, Trump is unpredictable, so he can do anything.
Right? Yeah.
He can fire himself. Mm-hmm. But,
God, I hope he does.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
I think that he definitely, the thing that bothered him was him not denying that he said, called him a moron outright. I'm sure, first of all, it would drive anybody crazy. Second of all, yes, Tillerson's got he dominated the media cycle or the news cycle, whatever you call it. And Trump lives on that. And that's all he cares about. And he got beaten out by that guy. So he wants to get rid of that guy. I don't want that guy stealing my TV time. Of course, that's Trump. That's exactly the level Trump operates on. It's no deeper.
Trump called him a moron, or he called Trump a fucking moron.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And one of the things that caught my attention in the report on like why he called him a moron, he called him a moron because of Trump's Afghanistan strategy. And specifically, the way that we've changed it is that they overturned a requirement that the troops be in the area of enemy forces before they fire. And so here we have our head diplomat in this country who's trying to deal with this. And we have the Trump administration allowing our jets to bomb people wherever they want. And so, when you look at what Rex Tillerson is trying to do and watch how the commander in chief is making it impossible to do his diplomacy job, I can see why you would be like, this guy's a moron, and get angry. And instead of actually talking about that policy thing, we're talking about the news cycle and that being dominated. It's just like the priorities are so off. But Tillerson, his are correct. You know, he called him a moron for a good reason. Our Afghanistan strategy is killing people. I'm defending the ExxonMobil Secretary of State right now. That's where we're at. But he's an adult.
It's so weird that I'm on the side of Rex Tillerson.
Yeah.
So whose idea was it to have this new policy in Afghanistan that caused him to call him a moron? Whose idea was it? Was it Trump's idea, or did it come from the Pentagon?
Well, Mattis is pretty happy about it. So
Tillerson would be also referring to Mattis as an effing moron too, because he's for this policy also.
Possibly.
Right? Okay. So at least it was based on policy.
Yeah. I mean, in context, I'm like, yeah, go Tillerson. You're
so
right.
Here are the reasons that Mike Pompeo might be the replacement, as it is rumored. They say that he's close to Trump. He delivers the daily press brief to Trump. He's not a showboat. he would take the job because it's like the logical next step. It's all he hasn't done besides president, essentially. He has credibility with world leaders because he's actually able to be in the president's ear. But here's a quote. Pompeo is one of the few in the administration who knows how to convey tough news to the president and how to push back without turning DJT off. And Mattis is good at that too. That's it. That's the skill. Mm-hmm. That's the skill that people like Tillerson, who is a businessman, who is like, I mean, things that Tillerson did when he first became Secretary of State was like, essentially, don't make me report bribes. Essentially is what it is. Because he's like, I'm an Exxon Mobil guy, and I know that sometimes I need to talk to heads of state, and sometimes I need to talk to local oligarchs, and sometimes they're the same person. And in order to get my wells drilled, that's what I need to do. And then he looks at Donald Trump, who is this, he makes buildings that are gold. And that's it. And that's his business. Mm. Right? And for Trump, he only ever needs to talk to oligarchs. He only does that. And so Trump's working on this level that Tillerson absolutely sees himself as being above. And that level is below that, you know, ostensibly of people who have worked in the State Department before, who have experienced that. But that comes with a bunch of its own drawbacks because you're inside a system and you have to say yes to the right people to bubble up there. But just to see the difference between these two, and then to have it potentially be handed over to Pompeo, who's the head of the CIA, because he knows how to say nice things to the, like bad things to the president nicely.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating.
And let's take a little flashback and remember who Pompeo is, because he was a congressman. He was in the Tea Party wave. That's how he got in. He's from Kansas. He was the Koch brothers congressman. So it's like, it's also interesting to me to look at him being the possible person shifted into our head diplomacy job, because you have the Exxon Mobil guy and now the Koch brothers congressman. He clearly knows how to kiss ass and has. I mean, the Koch brothers, they gave him, I have it here, $375,000, and 14% of his funding for Congress came from oil and gas interests. So it's like, if you're going to get rid of Tillerson, they're just replacing fossil fuel guy with another fossil fuel guy. And when I look at the big picture of like what I thought was going to happen with Trump, I knew that real estate developers were going to have a good time. I knew that rich people were going to have a good time. I never thought that fossil fuels would be this central to this particular administration. There was no indications of this beforehand. So that's why I'm upset about the Pompeo pick. It's just fossil fuels, they've just got a stranglehold on this entire administration.
I think they have had a stranglehold on our government. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but right before he left office, Barack Obama was going to let that situation in North Dakota play out. And the reason why we have all these fracking pipes is because Barack Obama lifted the restriction of exporting fossil fuels from our country, which is why now it's crisscrossed with fracking pipes. Yeah. So it's not just this administration. Again, this is Trump just takes the pretty face off the horrible shit that our government has been doing since Bill Clinton.
It's true.
So yes, it puts you in a weird position where you have to either judge the behavior of someone who knows exactly what they're doing, or have to make a decision as to whether this person knows exactly what they're doing, or anything about what they're doing. With Obama, at least I totally get what you're saying.
He opened the Arctic to drilling. Obama opened the Arctic to drilling.
As part of a strategy, it could be claimed to lower the price of gas and destabilize the people in other regions in the world. And it's totally business and commerce based. Destabilize other countries that rely on fossil fuel exports. And you've seen that bear out. We make more oil now and more energy. And so now the Middle East is further destabilized, as Russia is as well. And that's why Putin hates Obama and hates Hillary, because he cost them jillions of dollars, right? In addition to a bunch of a long legacy of all that stuff. But at least I can wrap my mind around it. I'm not saying it's good what Obama did at all, but I'm saying at least I can wrap my mind around an approach that makes sense as an approach. With this one, it's like we talked about it in the previous video. There's a good cop, bad cop thing that he's trying to do, but there is no good, there's no ability to believe that the good cop can do anything. Now you've got Rex Tillerson, who goes up and is like, he said things like, I would like to talk, we can talk to the North Koreans, we can have a discussion. And then you have Trump saying, nah, look at Rocket Man, don't talk to Rocket Man, with the China thing. So Tillerson goes and he talks to China. And then China says, we will put more, you know, exert more pressure on North Korea if we can reasonably believe that America won't start a war.
Yeah.
And Trump just completely undermined the reasonably believe part. So that's what's so frustrating. So maybe you do get rid of Rex Tillerson and you replace him with Pompeo, but what's to say that Trump isn't going to keep being this like crazy bad cop that he, I mean, this is exactly what he wants to be. This is him fantasizing. It's like his masturbatory, I'm jizzing all over the world fantasy. Like, I'm in control. I get to be the bad cop. I'm from New York.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to remember that the one thing Trump is good at is manipulating the press. So he learned it early on in his career in the 80s. He learned that, you know, how to steal a news cycle. He learned how to, you say, if you get heat about one thing, you say something more outrageous and they're going to follow that. And that's what he's been doing over and over and over. And I wouldn't doubt, I think actually the chances are that him saying that stuff about the calm before the storm and nobody knows what it means, that's just him trying to grab the headlines back. So now everybody's going nuts. This is a big deal. What did he mean? Does he mean we're going to have a war? What? And so now everybody's back talking about Trump and everybody's asking him. And so it's off Tillerson and the moron comment. And he just stole the news cycle again. So this is probably as shallow as that.
Yeah. And we've moved away from the gun discussion.
That's
yep.
true.
Already.
Already.
We have more about that. The last thing I'll say about this is there's this rumored suicide pact between Mnuchin, Mattis, and Tillerson that if one goes, they all go.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. And then in the backdrop, Mattis is like, just wait till the end of the year. We've lost a lot of folks, which is why I'm the chief of staff. Or you know, I don't know if it was
John
Mattis.
Kelly,
it was John Kelly,
yeah.
It sounded wrong. So yeah, John Kelly is like, that's why I'm chief of staff. Let's not fire anybody till the end of the year.
Well, and I think that John Kelly and Rex Tillerson have a similar grown-upness works. I think they're adults in the room that are trying to manage this president. Mm-hmm. And they both have a sense of calm about them that I think is needed. So I would imagine that John Kelly would want a Rex Tillerson to stay as opposed to Mike Pompeo, who I think he'll do whatever Trump wants.
Yeah.
I don't think he has an independent thought in his head.
That's the whole resignation thing. Like, should Rex go? Should people resign, period, to get out of there?
Yeah.
But the one thing, it's like throwing your hands and saying, I do not approve. But then who's left?
Well, and this whole thing might be nonsense, too, because remember when Jeff Sessions was right about to leave, too?
Yeah.
He's still there. So we'll see.
All right. So we're going to move on. We said we'd moved on from the discussion of guns. We're going to go back to it and give you an update, a different part of the story that has emerged. An Arizona man in the wake of the Las Vegas shooting made a symbolic gesture of giving away his guns. It's how he figured he could contribute to something positive around this. So he posted, his name's Jonathan Pring. He's a dual British and American citizen. And he shared pics of himself giving guns over to the police. There he is handing over. And they're no small arms. He said in part of his Facebook post, I will miss my guns. I enjoyed taking them to the range and doing Rambo poses in front of the mirror. I paid a lot of money for them, however. If I was to write down the 10 most important things in my life, the guns wouldn't make the list. He said, we can do something about the guns. We can just get rid of them. It's that easy. So that's his, you know, attempt to do something. Do we believe him? What is your reaction to seeing that kind of a statement? Is it a good statement? Is it a good rhetorical stance for people to take?
I mean, I'm someone who doesn't like guns around me to begin with. I can't really relate to someone like him because I think the most dangerous thing you can do is to have that weapon in your home. You know, like someone else could pick it up or you could have a bad day if you have depression issues. Like, I just think having it around is so dangerous. So I like that he gave them up just for his own sake.
Right. The amendment, I think it's called the Dickey Amendment, that, you know, keeps people from doing research around gun violence through the CDC. That came as a result of someone doing research that discovered that if you have a gun in your home, it's more likely there will be a gun homicide in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And after that bit of news coming out, they were like, we shouldn't do any research about guns anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. He's given away his guns. I'm a cynical person. Super duper cynical. And I mean, I get it. I mean, I hope that certain people decide they're going to change as a result of this, but I don't know. What do you think?
You cynical about in this story?
I don't know.
You don't believe the guy's, you don't think he's real? You think that he went out and bought those guns the night
before? No, it's more like the idea of someone going out there and saying the solution in all of this is for everyone to give up their guns, I think paints a certain picture of like the people who are interested in gun control only advocating complete relinquishing of all firearms.
I guess what I like about
nice.
It though,
he's
leading by example.
He's leading by example.
He's putting his guns where his mouth is. Like, I like that he had an idea and he ran with it and he said, this is how I did it. I appreciate that part of it. He didn't tell everyone else to go and do it. He said, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And for him to take a backlash on his own, well, I guess you didn't get to that part of the story yet, but like he did this on his own and took so much hell for it. That's the part that makes me sad. He wasn't preaching.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the hell that he's gotten. I've got one quote of someone who posted as a response to what he put on Facebook. He said, this person said, he's unarmed and wants you to show his wife a good time while he watches. Like, come on. And so, that's not it. A lot of people are saying a bunch of terrible, terrible things to this guy.
Yeah.
And he took down that Facebook post, and right? And then
did he?
And he took his family out of the house because someone posted his home address.
Right. Yeah, the gun.
Pretty nasty.
So yeah, if you cross those gun guys, they're jerks.
Yeah, turns out.
And they're armed.
Yeah.
And they're armed.
So, I mean, do you think go ahead.
No, I just, again, the whole idea that we're allowed to, everyone is for gun control. No matter who it is, no matter the, because should I be allowed to own a tank? Should I be allowed to own a bazooka? No. Well, then you're for gun control. It's just where you put it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm for limiting magazines. I'm for limiting get rid of assault weapons. Like we used to have an assault weapons ban in this country. We can do what Australia did. This idea that somehow, you know, the reason why you want guns is what they'll say is to protect me from the tyranny of the government. The government's going to come and take my rights. And so I want a gun to protect myself from the government. That's what they'll say. Except the government already took your rights.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a surveillance state. You have no rights left. They have every text, every phone call, every email you make. And you don't have habeas corpus anymore. They can throw you in jail without charging. All they have to do is say you're a terrorist. So your rights are gone already. We don't have this liberty and freedom you think you have. And so, but you still want your gun. They took all your other rights, but you still want that gun. So now the gun's just for the gun. It's about nothing else except you fetishizing guns. And we all know that they overlooked the part in the Second Amendment that says a well-regulated militia. We all know they overlooked that. Why would they put that in the Second Amendment?
From my perspective, the Second Amendment is the worst amendment just from a writer's perspective. It is the most poorly written amendment in the original Bill of Rights. All the other ones are like freedom of the press, freedom of religion, freedom of this, freedom of that. The beginning, it's a well-regulated militia, comma, being essential to the security of the state, comma. Then, I mean, there's the if you try to parse it out, it's so archaic. The right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
But it said arms, not guns.
But it's like, it's like they just want the guns. The way it's framed, either it's written the way I believe it to be like, all right, there's gotta be guns because a militia, well-regulated militia. Like it's poorly written because you're writing well-regulated, word regulated is in there.
Yes.
And then you say shall not be impinged. So it says something that should be regulated, should not be regulated.
Yeah.
It's a shittily written amendment to the bill, to the Constitution. But the other way to interpret it is the way you ask for something when you don't want to get to it too quick. It's like, I want the gun, but I don't want to say, give me the fucking gun. I'm like, you know, the guns, armies, being that they are for security purposes, you know, if you want, because we got to regulate security state, give me the fucking gun. It's like your hands for clasping things. They're important for, could you jack me off? Like that's what it is.
I get what you're saying, but people also forget that the Second Amendment was written at a time when we had muskets.
I was just about to say that. Let's let them all have muskets.
Yeah, everybody could have a musket.
Uh-huh. I'm fine with that.
Anything above a musket is illegal.
But you also went to, you know, the old battlefields and they had cannons. Did people go like throughout the city with their, you know, with their musket and their cannon wheeling behind them?
Hey, if you want to put a cannon on your sidearm, go ahead. If you want to put it on your belt.
Well, at the time, Scalia even wrote this. I think I mentioned it on the show yesterday. Scalia wrote, like, there's a law back in the day where you couldn't carry a scary weapon around. Like, that was illegal for the purpose of intimidation. I don't know if it's called brandishing. I didn't look it up between then and now.
You know, the Wild West used to make you check your guns in at the city limit. Yeah. The Wild West used to do that. So they had more gun control in the Wild West than we have in the civilized 21st century.
Good God.
And why is that? And the thing that we all know why, it's because of money and politics. But even when Barack Obama was talking after the Sandy Hook, and he would say, you have to call your senators, you have to call your representatives. But he would never say what the real problem was. And the real problem is that our government is corrupted. That the reason why we can't have sensible gun legislation is because of our government's corruption and addiction to corporate money. He would never say that, because that would blow the whole game up. Because that's what makes, that's why the Princeton study proved that we live in an oligarchy. We don't have a democracy. It's already been taken from us. You just want to hang on to your guns.
Yeah, it's intense.
It's intense, but the solution to this is actually quite clear, because we know that we need a law, and federally, Congress makes laws. Mm-hmm. So what we really need to do, we have 535 people in Congress, we need to replace a lot of them.
Yeah.
You the know, problem, like that's the very clear thing we should be focusing on is
Australia
Congress.
Australia was actually able to do this.
Yeah.
So this isn't, again, there's a precedent around the world. But since we're in America, we don't have any knowledge of what happens around the world.
Was it in their constitution? I vaguely remember reading something that's like us and like two other countries in the world have like a firearm right written in our constitution. I'd have to look at that. But another one thing I'll say about the NRA is not about protecting your right to bear arms. It's about stoking your desire to buy arms.
Right.
Yes.
It's about increasing corporate profits. It's got nothing to do with arms or guns. They could, whatever what they're selling, they would be doing the same thing. It's just to maximize profits.
Yeah, look at all the loopholes that exist. The legislature, I mean, the NRA writes, they're a lobby. They, you know, gun lobbyists write all the language to the bills that go through Congress. And things like the gun show loophole, that's just so you can buy more guns at a gun show quickly. It's for like the gun show. The most frustrating loophole that there is for me is the federal background check loophole, which means you go do a federal background check and most of them take a few minutes. But if the background check takes more than 3 days, but for whatever reason, they just go, take it.
Oh, no kidding.
That's Dylan Roof got his gun that way. Just like, this is taking a while. Our bad. Go ahead. Oh, your pilot's license. I mean, imagine if it was anything else. Your pilot's license, I don't know.
Driver's license.
The Scantron's broken for 3 days. You're a pilot now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we got some time to talk about Roy Moore and how he is the worst. And then we're going to talk about the hurricane that is making its way toward the Gulf Coast. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Young Turks, everybody. Jen Briney, Jimmy Dore, Brett Ehrlich. Thank you for staying with us. You can always tweet us at hashtag TYT Live. We'll read some of them out on air, as I am about to do once again. Vance, hopefully Bob Vance from Vance Refrigeration, tweets in, big oil has had our nation in a headlock a lot longer than Trump has been alive. That's a good point. Eric writes, Trump's only true friend is ignorance. Bud Askins writes, with yet another hurricane set to hit the Gulf Coast, perhaps Trump meant to say the calm between the storms. It's a great one, Bud. And Gabby, our dear friend, writes, if you need a gun to protect yourself against the government, newsflash, the government has aircraft carriers. Good luck with that. Wow, that's a dark one, but I get it. I get it. All right, we're going to get into a little talk about everyone's favorite two-time former Alabama Supreme Court Justice, Roy Moore. Roy Moore is the worst. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. And of course, he affiliates himself with other hell demon swamp orcs. And we're going to point out just one of them. Talking Points memo reports on one donor who's particularly terrible. That's making news. Michael Anthony Perutka, or Peroutka, And there he is on the right. He and Roy Moore is on the left. He said, according to Talking Points memo, Michael Anthony Parocca has given Moore, his foundation, and campaigns well over $500,000 over the past decade plus. Who is Michael Anthony Parocca? He's argued that the more Christian South needs to secede from a new biblical and form a new biblical nation. He spent years on the board of the Alabama-based League of the South, a Southern secessionist group, which for years has called for a Southern nation run by an Anglo-Celtic elite. Southern Poverty Law Center says that this organization is a hate group. Parocca jokes about that. He's no longer on the board of it, but since then they were one of the groups that organized the Charlottesville protests. Their leader, Michael Hill, wants to organize a Southern Defense Force militia for guerrilla war, and he's attacked organized Jewry, of which I am part of them. We're very organized. Is it any surprise that Roy Moore affiliates himself with these kinds of folks? Are we up to date on the Roy Moore senatorial race?
Alabama.
I take him at his word. I don't think he knew that they were. he thought that they just really cared about their heritage or whatever. I don't think he knows anything. I don't see a racist bone in his white body. Do you?
Yeah, no, not at all. Especially, let's see, what else? We got some greatest hits. You want to see Parocca in action?
I do.
Yes.
He said he was going to sing the national anthem.
Was he in the United States?
Of the United States of America. Okay. And so this will play video four of what happened after he said that.
I ask you to stand for the national anthem, please. Wish I was in the land of cotton, old times there, but I've forgotten the way.
There you go. I can't look away. I kind of had to because there was a man who stood up.
Yeah, we were looking at someone's back.
So again, I do get it. It's called cognitive dissonance. You learn how to practice cognitive dissonance if you grew up religious like I did. And so that's what that is, because they're upset at Colin Kaepernick for doing a silent, respectful protest over a real social issue. And they say it disrespects the flag and the national anthem. But here, this guy is actually singing a song of a traitor, right? That's a traitor's song of wanting to overthrow our country. They have a flag, the Confederate flag that they wave all the time. So again, this is cognitive dissonance. This is beautiful to show you who these people really are. That's who they really are. They're traitors to America. So white supremacists are traitors to America, just like that guy is. And that's all this is about, people who are traitors to America. And there's no doubt about it. You say stand for the national anthem and you sing a song of a group of people who wanted to overthrow our government. What do you call that? That's like ISIS.
Yeah,
that's kind of exactly where I went with it. Because as I read this article, it kept coming back to religion and how they want to change our government so it's more religious. And just, you put the quote up there before where they called for a Southern nation run by the Anglo-Celtic elite. And when you look at what ISIS is trying to do, they're trying to create their own government. Mm-hmm. This is religious based. And it's like, that's what Ray Moore is trying to do.
Yeah.
With his $500,000 from his crazy friend.
He's received $622,000 since 2004, $45,000 for his two gubernatorial runs. Moore has received from Parocca. $143,000 for Moore's Supreme Court comeback. This guy, here's one quote. He said, I come from Maryland, which by the way is below the Mason-Dixon line. We'd have seceded if they hadn't locked up 51 members of the legislature. By the way, I'm still angry about that. And then to Jen's point, he wrote, of course the South is this remnant of a Christian understanding of law and government, where there is a God and government is God ordained. If a Muslim person said that, he would call for him to be hung up. That stands right in the way of this pagan understanding that the state, the New World Order, is God, warning that seculars were out there to destroy the South. Here is, my favorite thing. He also Roy Moore was kicked out of the Supreme Court of the state of Alabama because, not because he erected a giant Ten Commandments monument in the courthouse, but because a court said you need to take that down because separation of church and state, you just can't have that there. And he said no. And so he got kicked out. Peruka built a replica of the Ten Commandments, according to Talking Points memo, on his land, renamed the field where he put that Roy Moore Field. He's made anti-abortion, anti-gay, and Confederate monuments donations. And then this random ass fact about Peruka, he gave $1 million, according to Talking Points memo, for a museum to the fossilized skeleton of an Allosaurus named Ebenezer.
What is an Allosaurus?
It's like a scary looking Velociraptor.
So it's a...
Velociraptors aren't scary.
But it's got more teeth.
So it's a dinosaur?
Looks like a giant dinosaur, a giant crocodile dinosaur.
So they believe in dinosaurs? I've been to that museum, by the way.
Really?
Yes. I have been. And they follow you around to make sure you're not laughing. They do. And to make sure you're not poking fun in front of other people. Because they were on us. They knew what we were there for. We smelled like weed.
That's amazing.
So they knew what we were doing. Yeah, I went there. I was working in Cincinnati in John Boehner's district telling jokes. And you can drive right over. So we did.
Oh, wow.
That's just awesome.
I would not want to be high at a dinosaur museum. That's the most terrifying thing.
You know what? It was sadder than I expected because I didn't realize that people would bring, there would be other people there with their children. And they're bringing their kids in there. And I'm just like, oh, I feel like they're doing child abuse to them, which they are because they're misinforming their kids. They're anti-sciencing their own kids. Yeah. They're teaching their kids to do cognitive dissonance. And you just want to go over and go, no, this isn't science.
So this is
a bunch of crazy people like ISIS and Al-Qaeda, except they're white and they live in this country.
So wait, this is a museum that they have dinosaurs and they say they were created by God.
Yeah.
Okay.
That Adam and Eve lived with dinosaurs.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Is this the one that was in the Bill Maher documentary?
I don't know if these are all the same museum, but I've heard of museums
like the
Creation Museum. Wow.
Yeah.
So Roy Moore is running against, he won the primary, and then there's a bunch of discussion about whether he has a chance to win in Alabama. He is a Republican, but I mean, he's run for governor before and lost. Some facts that you should know about Roy Moore is in 2012, he ran for Supreme Court justice again, and he barely won. Against someone who just was a late entrance into the debate. And he barely won that race in a race where Obama got beat by Romney by, you know, dozens and dozens of points. So Roy Moore pulls behind a national average. And granted, that was in 2012. Doug Jones is a prosecutor. They're split, but it's just no one knows what's going to happen with this.
I know what's going to happen is the all powerful hand of the Russians are going to come in and throw this election.
I mean,
you know how did you know that the Russians spent almost $100,000 on Facebook? Oh, it's like, what are you, Dr. Evil? They spent $2 billion, $100,000. Yeah, you know, it's not 1976 anymore.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of money.
Before we wrap up, we're going to show some things that Roy Moore put up on Facebook or shared. One was "Want to Stop Riots," and he shows, black people on a car. It says, "Play the national anthem; they'll all sit down."
But what they didn't show is that the cop just shot 6 unarmed black guys before they jumped on the car.
And then this next,
and they had a recording of them saying, "We're going to shoot those unarmed motherfuckers," but we didn't mean it.
Yeah, there's another one. This is would the suppressed. What would the suppressed millionaire NFL quarterback who would not stand for the national anthem please point out which of these guys are black so we can remove the offensive flag? This is Roy Moore.
God.
This is the stuff that he says. He says reds and yellows are fighting each other. It's a reference to like an old Christian song, but he talks about different races as being red and yellow, the least terrible thing.
So that's using dead soldiers to... to further your racism. That's what that is.
Yeah.
Because apparently if you're black and poor, you're not allowed to protest. And if you're black and rich, you're not allowed to protest. You're just not allowed to protest if you're black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other things that.
But he can sing "The Land of Dixie" and be. But that's bad. right? So he doesn't have any problem with the Confederate flag, doesn't have any problem with singing the pretend national anthem of the group of people who wanted to overthrow this, the actual secessionists. In fact, they have secessionist parties every year, don't they?
Yes.
Well, and their goal, very clearly, when they talk about all these people in this social network of Roy Moore's, they want to remake our government as a religious government.
Yes.
Which really concerns me because they're saying that the government we have is beyond repair, which I think where I watch so much Congress, I'm seeing it play out in real time where you have these religious people that are, they're aiming to dismantle our government. It's like that is the first step to getting this brand new government that they can, you know, make it be around Jesus or whatever they're trying to do because they want a biblical worldview and apply it to civil law and government. And so it all kind of makes sense. We're just going to have one more of these really religious people in our government with more than a tad of racism attached to this guy. But when I look at the big picture, I mean, we have a problem in this country of religion and government. Like, I think we need to address the religion problem in our legislature right now. And he would just be another one that would be voting biblically instead of what's better for society. I mean, they're trying to dismantle and rebuild and this religious image. It's disturbing.
Which is completely anti-American.
Totally.
It's against the reason that his ancestors came to this country.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you are a strict conservative, you know, originalist of the Constitution, it is there clear as day. Separation of church and state. Other things, he thinks that the American Midwest is living under Muslim Sharia law. That's
where. Where is the evidence of this?
In
Muslim
his head.
Sharia law.
Yeah, right? In Midwest, just parts of the American Midwest, not all. The September 11th attacks happened because America has turned away from God. And he was led the charge against a 2004 state referendum to remove segregationist language from the Alabama state constitution, claiming that the amendment would somehow open up the state to possible education tax increases. That's why. So
God
ridiculous. We got one more story. We're going
to
do it quickly. And a lot of it's just kind of telling people updates about Tropical Storm Nate. Tropical Storm Nate is headed toward the Gulf Coast. CNN reports that according to the National Hurricane Center, the eye of the storm was expected to pass late Saturday or early Sunday over about 50 miles east of New Orleans, which was devastated 12 years ago by Hurricane Katrina, of course. It would be the third hurricane after Harvey and Irma to hit the US mainland in 6 weeks. This morning, it was 50 to 60 miles an hour, but by the time it makes landfall, they expect it to be a Category 1 or a weak Category 2 storm. Hurricane and tropical storm watches have been, tropical storm warning was issued late Friday morning for New Orleans and Lake Pontchartrain, west to Morgan City, Louisiana. The Hurricane Center said while a hurricane warning was issued from Grand Isle, Louisiana to the Alabama-Florida border. And then let's skip ahead to 21, graphic 21, to just give the weather map of where they forecast this to be headed. Just to let folks know what's going on. It went through Nicaragua, at least 15 deaths. Costa Rica, at least 7 deaths, 15 missing and 5,000 in emergency shelters.
Yeah. The only thing that I want to say about this is that I remember with Hurricane Harvey, it spun up real quick and they were saying it might hit Texas as a tropical storm. Next thing you know, it's a Category 4 and it's a huge catastrophe. And they always knew that the problem was going to be that it sat there in the flooding. There's no indication that's going to happen this time. But what we're already seeing is a progression because the Gulf of Mexico, that's what fuels these storm systems. And the Gulf of Mexico right now at the coldest part is 2 degrees above average. So it's between 2 and 5 in the entire Gulf of Mexico. And when you do these projections with weather models, you're using historical data. Well, it's all above average. And so with Hurricane Harvey, you saw it, they said it was gonna be a tropical storm. It ended up a Category 4. On Tuesday, they were saying that there might be elevated tides and rains in New Orleans. And now we're at a Category 1 hurricane and it still has to go through the Gulf. So I do think that people in the South should pay attention to this, even though they've been through Category 1s. But in the next 24 hours, we could see that projection go up just because they don't really know how to deal with the Gulf of Mexico being so much warmer than usual. And it's fueled these storms that we've seen hit our country this year.
When you say it's warmer than usual, it's not going to cool off, right? Like it's going to stay that way, right? It doesn't. Is this a temporary increase in the Gulf's temperature? I mean, I don't know. You're not a...
I'm not a meteorologist. I'm into the weather, like dork.
But what I understand,
I took a class called Weather and Storms in college.
I think that isn't it it doesn't go the other way, like sea level rising, it never goes back down.
Whether there are increases and decreases year over year, the trend is an increase in temperatures.
Oh, okay, right. So there might be some years.
But so it cools with the seasons too, and the winter comes around, it goes back down. So like at the time that Harvey was being formed, it was 2 to 7 degrees above average. Now the Weather Channel is saying it's 2 to 5. So it's already cooling off a little bit, but it's the average. So for this time of year, the weather models are saying, okay, it's October 6th, this is what we expect it to do. But they're expecting to do it with the water, like everything that they have to go on had the water cooler.
Right. Okay.
And so it's getting more difficult for them to predict the future based on past evidence because we're changing things.
The real problem is I heard Trump hurt his wrist, and how is he going to get how's he going to get paper towels to those people if this really turns into a real hurricane?
Oh my God.
Speaking of wrists, I don't know. I was gonna say speaking of hurricanes, and I was like, that's grossly inappropriate to use that as a transition.
Jerk off joke coming.
Yeah, I'm gonna stop. And no, I went away from hurricanes to wrists, and I was like, no, just abort. So speaking of abortions, that's what the show has been. Just kidding. That's the end. worse. All right. Wow. So Jen Briney, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
How can people find your podcast?
Congressionaldish.com. It's also everywhere. iTunes, Google Play, everywhere podcasts are found.
Jimmy Dore.
So I just want to let people know in Portland, where Jimmy Dore show is coming to Portland November 12th. That's a Sunday. We'll see you there. The Humanist Report will be a guest on that. Also on that show. That's a live show. And then November 6th, we're in Burbank, California doing a live show. And October 16th at the Hollywood Improv. So all those 3 dates are at jimmydorecomedy.com.
And Aggressive Progressives?
Aggressive Progressives every week, 6 p.m. at, whatever, on Thursdays.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you guys so much for watching the first hour. Stay tuned for the next hour. We have a lot of amazing stories, including an expose by BuzzFeed about Breitbart and how they funneled white supremacy to your face. So stick around for that. Hannah's going to be here. Nando's going to be here. It's going to be a good show. Stick around.